All right, let's start by telling us who you are and how you identify.
I'm Monica Yorkman, and I identify as she, her, as a transgender woman.
What's something that you think is important for people to understand about you that they might not know on first glance?
Wow. That I'm a great grandmother and that I'm 70 years old. A lot of people don't think that I'm 70 when they first see me. And a lot of people don't know that I have biological children, unless I tell them. So I think that that's something, I think it's significant, and I think it's not something that a lot of people know about me. I don't talk about my family that much, even though I do talk about them. But I think that it's an important thing for our community, because I think a lot of times we don't think about us possibly having progeny, because one of the things about my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, we don't know when one of them may come one to somebody one day and say that, I think I'm trans. And so I think that it's important for me to educate my family and just kind of create an environment so that they might be open to come and talk to me, or at least open to knowing that there's a trans world so that there are places they can get information, because there was no world for me to get information, and I know how hard that was.
What does your trans world look like today?
I'm sorry, say that again.
What does your trans world look like today?
My trans world today is much more open than it was when I was younger, and that's because there's more available information, there are more trans people. I've had a chance to mature into my trans womanhood, and so my world now is just an open world. I live out loud, that freedom itself is just something that I'd always hoped for, but I wasn't sure that I would ever be able to experience or realize.
What's a key, value for you? Or is there a code that you live by?
Oh my goodness, yes, there's a code I live by. I actually have a credo, and I found it in a book. And so there was a statement in a book written by a man named Ernest Holmes. And he said, in order for me to help to make it a better world, I have to become a better person in this world. And that's my credo. And it kind of goes hand in hand with something that I read in another book, The Four Agreements. And the first agreement in The Four Agreements is to be impeccable with your word. And so I strive to be impeccable with my word, to say what I mean and mean what I say. And on surface, that sounds really, really simple, but it's really, really a lot more difficult than that. Because it's easy to say the first thing that comes out of your mouth, but it's not easy to really, really think about how my words land. And that's a lesson I'm always learning and I'm always relearning. And it's not always easy to think about the context of how those words are meant and how those words are phrased and what those words mean in a certain situation. Because there's so much language now that meant something totally different when I was younger. I have to always be mindful of the context in which words are used and how words land with people. Not only that, all the nonverbal stuff that goes along with words.
Earlier, you were talking about your relationship, and I wanted to know if there's any keys that you have found to long-lasting queer love.
Wow. I think you said it, the word love. I think that we have to continue to believe in love. I don't think love can happen without hurt, but you can't give up on love because of hurt. I think those are human emotions, and so me turn and face you. We have to be ready to experience all human emotions. You know, and so I know when I was younger, I just told myself, I'm not going to get hurt anymore. I'm not going to get hurt anymore. And I just had to come to realize who I am. And so I'm a person who's always believed in love. And there's a part of me that's a hopeless romantic. And so I discovered a lot of that in my writing. I love to write. And so in looking at my writing, I looked at this and I'm like, you know what? I'm always in love. I told someone that I fall in love every day with something. You know, if it's not a person, it could be with a flower or a situation. And so it would be unrealistic for me to give up on the idea of love. And so what I would suggest to people is to discover themselves. You know, sometimes people will become cynical just to put up a barrier to guard themselves. You know, and so if you're busy guarding yourself, then you're protecting yourself from hurt, but you're also keeping somebody else walled out. Somebody that might be going through the same kind of hurt, but still trying to reach out. And that might be the person that you're looking for. One of the things that we talked about is almost screwed up the love of my life, you know, and having an opportunity to find love. You know, but it involves risk. You've got to take a chance. Yeah. And the other thing is it takes work. It's not a Disney movie. It's real.
I think that for a lot of trans people, and for certainly me, the thing that you grow with experience is the discernment to know who to take that risk with. And I see a lot of people early in love be very open with their heart and give that risk to people who may not deserve it. So is there anything that you have to say about that discernment?
Discernment and wisdom grow with experience. You know, hell, I was 50 years old and still making that mistake. You know, so, you know, expect to make mistakes. You know, mistakes are part of practice. All of this is practice. You know, it would be nice if there were a magic formula and poof, you got it. Also, I would say this. Don't be fooled by illusions, because some people seem to get it right away. And from the outside, it looks like they have it right away. But I can't afford to be tripped up by that illusion, because I'm not in their bedroom. I'm not in the car with them. I'm not in their everyday life. So I don't know what goes on with it. And I don't know what kind of work they put into their situation. I only know what kind of work I put into mine. You know, and then a lot of it has come from my own personal work. It took a long time for me to really come to the conclusion that I was worth it. Yeah, so I would say to people, work on your own self-esteem. You know, and something my mentor said to me, and this was about 10 years ago, my mentor told me that I had to get over myself. Not everything is because I'm trans. Yeah, because there's a lot that lives in my head that tells me that, well, I'm not good enough because I'm trans, or they're not looking at me because I'm trans, or my hips aren't big enough because I'm trans, or whatever it is not good enough because I'm trans. No. And then she's dropped one on me. She says, maybe they like you because you're trans. You know, and so there are a lot of different ways to look at it. But I need to step outside of this idea that plays in my mind that everything is about me being trans. Because my partner is cis, and she says that that's the last thing that she looks at. She just looks at me because I'm me, and she's attracted to me. Yeah. So I need to not trip myself up with all that, make it all about my transness.
Is there anything that other people label you as that you don't label yourself with? It could be like a identity term or a job term, any sort of label that you buck against.
Oh my goodness. I've been labeled with so many labels. I went to a mixer over in Hamden about 5 years ago. And so one of the first terms I got labeled with was a femme because of the way I came through the door. And so in one conversation, we were talking about moving furniture. And I was like, yeah, I'm not opposed to moving furniture. I don't need to wait for somebody to move a furniture. And then somebody labeled me with some other kind of femme hyphen something else. And so then they found out that I had a partner and I was the dominant one in the partner. And then somebody said something like, so maybe you're really a dom, or are you secretly a dyke, or you see, you know. And so I've been labeled so many things because of somebody's perception of me, you know, or I've had people take certain positions because of their perceptions of me, that I really don't care much for labels. I just don't, because labels are people's, you know, impressions of me and their perceptions of me. You know, I'd rather them just get to know me, you know. And so the person that started asking me if I might be a dyke, I said, well, I come from a family of country women. You know, the women in my family come from North and South Carolina. And so they were all born in the 1930s. And not only were they country women, they were black farm women. And so they could dress up on Sundays and they could look pretty as anybody. But they did not wait for men to come around to like move furniture and, you know, hammer nails and do everything else that they wanted to do. And that's what I grew up seeing. And that's who I am. You know, so the first impression that you get of me is not all of who I am. So you can't sum me up in one impression. There are a whole lot of sides to me. And that's just what it is. So you need to really get to know me. You know, so used to really, really get on my nerves, and it used to bother me, and it used to linger. But now I just kind of laugh and I just let it go.
Is there an ex that you still think about?
Oh my goodness, I have a couple of exes that I think about. There's a person that I was madly in love with for 23 years, and I wrote a poem about her. And so what happened is I knew her before I transitioned, and then we worked together. And I was with my children's mother. And so we both knew that it wasn't a good idea. And I've never been a person to get into messy situations. And so just knew that it wasn't a good idea. And she was with someone else. And so some years later, after I was out of the relationship with my ex, with my children's mother, we ran into each other again. And that was the first time I lived in Mount Vernon before this last time. And I transitioned, but she still recognized me. And so we had a conversation, and I think she was more curious than anything. And we just started talking. We didn't really date. But then I finally got around to asking her if she was interested in going out with me and, you know, interested in seeing if we could rekindle things. And she got really, really nervous and uncomfortable. And she said to me that she didn't think she could do it because she felt like it would make her a lesbian, and she wasn't a lesbian. You know, and that just showed her lack of understanding. I felt really hurt, but also understood it. And I ended up writing a poem about it because I had a poem based on a dream. I might even share it with you. It actually got published. And so I think about her because I know that, you know, I've run into her from time to time and I can just see the look in her eyes and I could feel what was going on inside of me. But it's just, it was something that wasn't meant to happen. And I had another ex that we dated for about 2.5 years while I was going through my transition. And she finally came to me one day and said that this wasn't working and that she needed to move on. And I understand why. She wanted to marry and have children. And that wasn't going to happen with us. And what I understood from that one is we just had a different set of values. I mean, I met her parents. Her parents were really, really nice. And that hurt less because she was honest. You know, and she eventually married this guy that she knew from work. And I don't know if they ever had children. But I understood that she had these values where she wanted to start a family. You know, and I think about her from time to time. I used to send her a message on her birthday, and I stopped doing that because I realized that that was probably just getting way too awkward. But I think about her.